5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program, your source for common sense conservatism, delivered by a mom, by a truth teller. And today, by the way, we've got lots of truth about the alphabet agencies. I wasn't seeing it until I stood back and floated up above the rundown today. And I saw really what is being called for, and that is a complete dismantling and restructuring, reimagining of almost every single alphabet agency in America today. We're going to hit a couple of them. I got great audio sound bites for you. Brock has been busy all morning long cutting up the sound so we can give you the truth. If you're new to the show, Wendy Bell Radio Network is our app. You can follow along on the live video stream, join the chat, join the Wendy Bell Radio Army. We are growing every single day. Just keep coming back, and maybe next time bring a friend. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. I had a very interesting and unexpectedly joyful afternoon yesterday. My middle son, Ryan, 18 years old, graduating from an all-boys Catholic high school here in literally 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it is, decided he was going to try out for the tennis team. Never seen the kid hold a tennis racket. Never seen him play in my life. I know he's goofed around at the park with friends. Some of the girls he is close with would go up with him, hit the ball around. He decided to come home one day, and he said, you know what, after Christmas break, he said, Mom, a bunch of guys in my class and I, our friend group, we're gonna try out for the tennis team. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Do you know how to play tennis? And he's like, you know, whatever. It'll be fun. We'll see. Whatever. What do I have to lose? I'm like, I like it. So as the tryout came, none of the guys tried out except Ryan. They all bailed. And he's like, well, I want to do it. So he did. And he made the team. I was like, wait a minute. You made the team? And he's like, I made the team. I'm like, you made an all-boys Catholic tennis team. He said, I did. Great. He says, could you think we can go out? I got an old racket from grandma. Do you think maybe we could go to the sporting goods store and maybe just get a new racket? I'm like, yeah, we can go do that. So we did. And he started practicing with the tennis team. Then he came home and he told me he was the captain of the tennis team. And I'm like, what? How did that even happen? You don't play tennis. There are kids on the team who've been on the team since freshman and you're the captain. He's like, yeah, I know. Okay. Well, have fun, son. Great job. So yesterday afternoon at our local park, the tennis team was having its quote unquote senior night. It really wasn't a senior night. It was just an excuse for my son to get my husband and me to watch him play tennis. And we did. Now, I had no idea what to expect. I'm like, are these guys like serving aces? I mean, are they good? Like, how talented are these people? I was kind of tingly, like not sure what to expect. Ryan hasn't talked about how he plays. He comes home and he says, well, we won or we lost. He plays doubles. He's tried to play singles, whatever. So I go up with Joe yesterday. We're getting all ready. And it is tennis. I will say it's tennis. It's not about necessarily excellent tennis. It's about enjoying a game. It's about just getting the ball in the box. It's about not getting the ball out of the box and laughing and playing and getting better. Literally, that's all it is. It ain't about, we lost or woo, we won. It was honestly boys from two different schools understanding the decorum and the dignity and the class of the game as gentlemen shaking hands, doing this, whatever. I have not had that much fun watching mediocre tennis in all of my life. Nobody took it too seriously. Nobody got upset. Nobody was arguing. It was a beautiful day. The trees around us are blooming. Allergies triggered. Let's go. Even better, the boy on the opposing doubles team, one of them, had only one arm. I kid you not. I'm like, tennis. You're playing tennis with one arm. And he was the best player on the court. The kid was. Now, they didn't make all sorts of special accommodations for him. He wasn't a victim. He wasn't asking for extras. They just said, hey, if you hit it within this boundary on your serve, we're good to go. We want to play. We're not going to try to point, snub you or anything. We're not going to call weird calls. Let's play the game. God, I miss that. If only we had that in our government. You have people playing against each other. Ultimately, for the same purpose. Ultimately, for the same love of the game. It's tennis. Why don't our lawmakers play for the same love of the game, which is America? And then as I'm watching the coach comes over. I have no idea who he was. In fact, I introduced myself to the opposing team's coach, thinking he was our team's coach, because I know nothing about this team. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm the other school's coach. It was so lovely. Nobody was expecting anything other than enjoying a couple hours, running around, making some good shots, making some lousy shots, laughing it off, being good sports, and living life. And the coaches didn't meddle. They let the boys play. When there was an issue about rules because they went to extra whatevers, the coach came in and said, this is how it works, taught all the boys how to do it, and on they played. Why can't we have that? Why can't we have that in our government? Why can't we have leaders, representatives, who, yes, are different because they might represent different sides of something, but who actually work together against each other, but with each other for a greater good? Because everywhere I look in the news today, and we're going to walk you through these stories, it's about fraud. It's about corruption. It's about darkness. It's about propaganda. It's about coercing you. It's about forcing you down a path and manipulating you for a desired end. And the desired end isn't America. It is singular individual greed. That's what's fun about the tennis team. Yeah, you're an individual athlete. Yeah, you want to do the best you can do. Yes, you want to win your match. But you're part of the team. And the team's overarching objective has to supersede your individual one. It's victory for the school. Not yours, everyone's. And I sat there and I, of course, wish I could just watch tennis and not analyze or create an analogy of where we are. But it was right there in front of me. It's so simple. And here are 16 and 17 and 18-year-old boys and young men figuring out what we have all mucked up, allowed to get all twisted and bent out of shape, and have become too lazy, complacent, or complicit to fix. And we're at an impasse. Because the team ain't going forward and getting the victory if we don't reimagine some of the players. If we don't look at our CDC and FDA, our FBI and our CIA, if we don't hold the players who've pretended to have our best interests at heart, if we don't hold them accountable, if we don't reimagine what they're doing and how they're playing, we're not going anywhere. That is where we are right now. And every single one of us, as the scant parents who were up there at the field or at the tennis courts yesterday in the park, were witness to. We can't be on the sidelines anymore. This is not a spectator sport. Saving America is not something we do through a window. It's not something you do quietly at home, mumbling to people close to you. It takes action. It takes training. It takes mental and physical fitness. And beyond all other things, it takes honesty. We need to carve out the people who don't represent us. We need to bring forward people who do. And that is why what Donald Trump said the other day when he was making his statement about abortion, saying, look, I'm not wading in on this. This is something for you individual states to decide. He said very clearly, we must win. We must win. We don't want to tie. We don't want to lose. Because everything is on the line. And you're going to hear that urgency today from whistleblowers, truth tellers, honest journalists, and the like. We've got it all for you teed up next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Well, now we have kind of a dual action final segment before the break here. Now, it is both Lib of the Week and You Are Now Dumber rolled into one.
Time now for the Wendy Bell Radio Program's...
Oh, love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal.
Liberal of the Week.
Now, not to be outdone by Hank Johnson's concern that sending too many military personnel to Guam would cause the island to capsize. Woo! We've got Sheila Jackson Lee, ladies and gentlemen. She was previously on the Science and Space Committee in the United States Congress. And she had some very curious things to say Monday ahead of the total solar eclipse, in which she spoke about the sun and the moon. Now, this is up there with CNN thinking it was a good idea to dress up their people as literal a sun and a moon. But this, I think, Sheila Jackson Lee takes the cake. You get to enjoy your United States Congresswoman of genius. Go.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
I saw a tweet that said Icarus must have got his directions from her.
Oh my goodness. The sun is hot.
The moon is not.
You don't want to go too close to the sun because you'll burn to a crisp. Anyway, There's Sheila Jackson Lee giving some of her science committee knowledge to some high schoolers. And there's this poor gentleman in the backdrop standing just within the frame of the camera angle as she's at a podium that looks like it's set up on a track, right? And she's standing there saying all this, and the guy is looking around like, say what? So there you go. Lib of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Ought we not do better than that? Do you not believe that there are better, smarter people that we could have on our team or even go up against? Because nobody likes to play down, right? You don't want to play down to your competition. You want your competition to elevate you, to challenge you. Sorry, that's not happening. Now, before we wrap up this particular segment, I wanted to bring something to your attention. This is obviously personal to Brock and to me. We live in the Commonwealth of the Land Before Time, Pennsylvania, of course, and our governor decided to, not that long ago, initiate this, what he thought was this really great idea, that when people go to the Department of Motor Vehicles to get a new driver's license, to renew said license, get an ID card, even though we know that doing so is racist, he thought that it would be a great idea for there to be automatic voter registration. And so there's, you know, kind of worried about that, right? If you're going to automatically be registering people to vote here, what do you think the numbers are, Democrat, Republican, Independent? Well, Town Hall has this very interesting article. I'm just going to read you a snapshot of it. The headline is this, which caught my attention. Democrats should be jittery about Pennsylvania voter registration trends. Now, if you scroll down to the numbers, here we go. When social issues such as gender politics and a wide open border became part of the Democrats' party platform, these issues became bridges too far, apparently, for quite a few Pennsylvanians. Blue-collar voters became willing to leave the party altogether. And you're saying, wait, what? Especially after Democrat Governor Josh Shapiro made it efficient when he implemented a new measure that allowed residents getting driver's licenses and ID cards to opt in to voter registration. So what about the numbers? How many have registered? What does this look like? Huh. Despite Republican lawmakers belly aching about Shapiro's move, in the first month alone, 3,194 Democrats, 4,052 Independents, and a whopping 7,657 Republicans have registered. Now, even my rudimentary math skills tells me that as many Republicans registered in the state as Democrats and Independents together, and even Independent registrations, outpace the Democrats by nearly 900,000. In July of last year, just in Pennsylvania, Democrats held a 480,000 voter registration advantage over Republicans. But by October 10th, that margin had fallen almost 40,000. And that trend has continued in the months since, down now to just 397,000 voter advantage in Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, it is happening. People are awake. They are done. They are changing. They want change now. This is very exciting, particularly as we open the door to the next story. It is a very curious and infuriating op-ed written by Kentucky Senator Rand Paul about COVID and what the agencies that run this government knew and when they knew it. Wait for it. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, there is a fine line, I feel, in most of broadcasting, but I have a very interesting opportunity sitting behind this microphone and being able to communicate with you guys 3 hours a day. It's a lot longer than most people in media get to chat with folks. It's ad lib. It's off the cuff. I have a plan. We have a strategy. We have an idea of where we're going, but a lot of it comes out on the spot. And one of the challenges is not to harp on something or beat it into the ground too much, because I know it gets old. Something that we can never grow old of or weary of talking about has to be COVID-19. It absolutely must be. The degree to which we were all deceived, the number of times we were lied to, the number of people who were involved in it is so despicable to me. It really is. And I will never forget. I won't. I watched my sons be punished, lose years of their life and educations. I won't forget. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky isn't forgetting either. And I think we need to pay attention to some of these voices who are working diligently, tirelessly. And they're going up against the establishment machine to give us the truth. See, you can't say you're transparent and then do everything in your power to hide the truth from the people who demand it. And that's exactly what we've been getting for 3.5 years. And I, for one, am tired of being kicked. So I read this opinion piece that Rand Paul wrote for FoxNews.com. And I want to read it to you because it underscores what we're up against. As I bounce off of my analogy at the beginning of the program, watching my son's tennis match yesterday, we demand competent and worthy opponents, not evil. And we've been on the court with evil. The great COVID cover-up, shocking truth about Wuhan and 15 federal agencies. This is penned by Rand Paul. How vast was the great COVID cover-up? He writes, well, my investigation has recently discovered government officials from 15 federal agencies knew in 2018 that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was trying to create a coronavirus like COVID-19. These officials knew that the Chinese lab was proposing to create a COVID-19-like virus, and not one of these officials revealed this scheme to the public. In fact, 15 agencies with knowledge of this project have continuously refused to release any information concerning this alarming and dangerous research. These people answer to us, by the way. Government officials representing these 15 agencies were briefed on a project proposed by, Peter Daszak and EcoHealth Alliance and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The project was called the Diffuse Project, and it proposed to insert a furin cleavage site into a coronavirus to create a novel chimeric virus that would have been shockingly similar to the COVID-19 virus. You've heard these things. Furin cleavage site. You've heard these words. Chimeric virus. All of it coming together. For years, he writes, I've been fighting to obtain records from dozens of federal agencies relating to the origins of COVID-19 and this Diffuse project. Under duress, the administration finally released some documents that showed that the Diffuse project was pitched to at least these 15 agencies in January of 2018. What does that mean? It means that at least 15 federal agencies knew from the beginning of the pandemic that EcoHealth Alliance and the Wuhan Institute of Virology were seeking federal funding 2 years before COVID to create a virus genetically very similar, if not identical, to COVID-19. Disturbingly, not one of these agencies, not one person spoke up to warn us that the Wuhan Institute of Virology had been pitching this research. Not one of these agencies warned anyone that this Chinese lab had already put together plans to create such a virus. Peter Daszak himself concealed this proposal. University of North Carolina scientist Ralph Barrick, a named collaborator on the Diffuse Project, failed to reveal that the Wuhan Institute of Virology had already proposed to create a virus similar to COVID-19. Now, why would that be, ladies and gentlemen? They were all freaking in on it. And now we know that 15 agencies heard the proposal, and when each agency discovered that COVID-19 was strangely similar to Diffuse's proposed virus creation, not one single agency had stepped forward to warn the public that the virus might be man-made and therefore already adapted to transmit freely among humans. And not surprising to some of us, Dr. Anthony Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases was not only briefed on Wuhan's desire to create this virus, NIAID was actually listed as a participant in the initial Diffuse pitch 2 years before COVID. Fauci's Rocky Mountain Lab, we told you about that, was named as a partner alongside the Wuhan Institute of Virology in its proposal. Fauci lied. People died. These documents also reveal that a scientist whose lab had received millions of dollars from EcoHealth was also part of the original plan to create these chimeric coronaviruses. This researcher, Ian Lipkin, also later became one of the authors of Proximal Origins, a journal paper commissioned by Fauci and the National Institutes of Health head Francis Collins to throw shade on anyone arguing that the virus might have come from the lab. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the two dirtbags that said there must be a swift and devastating takedown of the Great Barrington Declaration that argued for basic common sense. If you don't have to go out, don't go out. If you have to go out, be careful. Let kids live. Let's protect the elderly and the sick. You know, stuff like that. Shh. This guy pushed out a paper funded by Fauci to create another hypothesis, another theory, another dark hole to go down. Millions of people died because of COVID-19. We now know that over 15 government agencies, as well as the investigators Peter Daszak, Ralph Barrick, Ian Lipkin, and scientists at NIAID's Rocky Mountain Lab, all knew about the Wuhan Institute of Virology's desire to create a coronavirus with a freaking furin cleavage site, a virus pre-adapted for human transmission. And they tried to tell you it came from a freaking wet market. Not a single person spoke up. We only know of this Diffuse proposal, Rand Paul continues, because of a whistleblower, a brave Marine, Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Murphy, who came forward with the truth. Likely hundreds and hundreds of people in the government knew of this proposal to create a COVID-19-like virus, and virtually every single one of these people chose to keep quiet, to obscure, and ultimately to conceal information that might have saved lives by letting the world know. This was no sleepy animal virus with poor transmission. It was concocted on purpose. You paid for it, not just with your money, with your life years. All evidence suggests COVID-19 was a laboratory-enhanced virus purposefully adapted for human transmission. And he concludes with this, which I dare say doesn't go nearly far enough. shame on all of those who covered up the Diffuse Project. Of course, they should all be punished, but likely won't. Why not? At the very least, though, the perpetrators should be made to admit the truth, and Congress should finally put in place sufficient oversight to make sure dangerous gain-of-function experiments are sufficiently vetted and, if necessary, prevented. That's what this is. It is another explosion of an alphabet agency. How would you ever believe any of these people again? This is what I feel about election fraud. How many people, how many thousands of people, from governors to secretaries of state to elections officials to the people at the polls to the judges refusing to hear their case, how many thousands of people knew all about the suck of 2020? And they sat on it. Beyond that, they went after those of us who knew, who dared to speak up, who dared to hunt for the truth, to post about it on social media. They stopped at nothing to stop us. And sitting in jail right now are hundreds of innocent people thrown away while the true evil out there walks freely among us and collects their government pension. Enough. I will remind you, of course, that Peter Daszak from EcoHealth Alliance was named by the World Health Organization to travel to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in search of the origin of the virus. And he couldn't find it in the lab. Curious, isn't it? When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends, of course, federal agencies lie to us. They lie to us and have for years. But the woman who tried to sell Ashley Biden's diary gets prison time? Really? Mm-hmm. I got the detail next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, I just stumbled across this headline, and this underscores, again, connecting with the opening monologue about tennis and just enjoying watching my kid play and play against kids that just wanted to volley. They just wanted to play. You know, if you hit it out, we'll work around it. It's not like we're doing cutthroat tennis. We want to play. We want to enjoy time together. Great. If we could only get government that did the same sort of stuff. How about this from Politico? Eric Adams limits agency communication with lawmakers. I'm like, wait a minute, what? The mayor of New York City is telling the people who are in New York City's council district, the representatives there, that you're not really allowed to communicate with us. You've got to go to this portal, this website, and fill out a request. And then if we feel like your request is worthy of our time, we might allow you to sit and talk with us. Probably not, but we kind of could. This is totalitarian, authoritarian regime crap, all right? I'm going to read you two sentences before I move on to Ashley Biden's diary, which is disgusting and requires a loofah stat. Mayor Eric Adams cracking down on interactions between city agency heads and elected officials in an effort to root more intergovernmental affairs work through his team at City Hall. His administration, prone to controlling public relations style, has set up a new webpage where elected officials can request an audience with agency commissioners, the heads, or their executive teams. How dare you? You're going to make people go through a portal to request accountability from you? You know, some of these hires are poor. Eric Adams, poor. Just bad. Period. and they're trying to isolate themselves, I think, from any kind of accountability. Well, I'm sorry. Have you gone through the portal? Well, I'm pleased. That's what you've got to do. Request. And then if we feel like you're worthy, we'll grant that. We'll grant that session. Ew! That is what's going on in New York. Because, of course, the city is being flushed down the commode. Now, I want to tell you about this. I find this very interesting. Also Politico. Florida woman is sentenced to a month in jail for selling Joe Biden's daughter's diary. And I will remind you that this is the diary in which Ashley Biden recollects as a young girl taking naked showers with her father and remembers being molested in said showers. Here's your story. A Florida mother was sentenced Tuesday to a month in prison and 3 months of home confinement for stealing and selling President Joe Biden's daughter's diary 4 years ago to the conservative group Project Veritas. Amy Harris, sentenced in Manhattan federal court, blah, 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 who said the woman's actions were despicable. Harris pled guilty to a conspiracy charge in August of 2022, admitting that she received $20,000 of the $40,000 that was paid by Project Veritas for personal items belonging to the president's daughter, Ashley Biden. Project Veritas didn't use the material, said they couldn't corroborate, independently confirm, that the diary was Ashley Biden's. And so, responsibly, they did not publish it. A tearful Harris apologized for enabling Ashley Biden's private writings to be sold after she found the diary and other items at a friend's Delray Beach, Florida home in 2020, where prosecutors said Ashley Biden believed her items were safely stored after she temporarily stayed there in the spring of 2020. I do not believe I'm above the law, Harris said after a prosecutor urged a prison sentence following her failure to appear at numerous sentencing dates on the grounds that she was consumed with caring for her two children, ages 8 and 6. I'm a survivor of long-term domestic abuse and sexual trauma, she told the judge. Getting a lot of victim status here. Getting a lot of ancillary storylines here. Fact of the matter is, we were told from go, much like Hunter's laptop, that it wasn't real. Don't believe it. We can't corroborate that. That's not true. That's not her diary. That's not her writing that she and Joe Biden took naked. Right? And that Ashley Biden remembers being violated sexually. Woof. So what we're doing is we're going to take this woman, who's no doubt a dirtbag too. I mean, who wants to steal a bunch of stuff and sell it for money? Somebody who's desperate. Somebody who's desperate. By the way, you know who else they tried to sell all this stuff to? Donald Trump and his campaign. You know who didn't bite? Donald Trump and his campaign. It was an actual thing. Trump and his team passed on it. The Russian steel dossier, all of the garbage that Hillary Clinton paid others to concoct because they couldn't find anything on Donald Trump when they wiretapped him. They had to make jazz up. So just another little friendly example of your two tiers of justice. If you're an illegal thug from somewhere else and you want to beat the snot of it out of a New York police officer, you can get picked up and let go in a New York minute. You can flip off the camera and give America your collective middle finger. But if you're on the other side and the left has you in their crosshairs, January 6th, any doctor that went against the COVID narrative, any whistleblower who decided to stand up and say, something's going on and you need to know about it. This is where we are in this country. Already the first hour of this program is like, poof, what happened? But have no fear, because we're coming back in a matter of moments, because it is time to defund America's alphabet agencies. And I submit we begin with the CIA and the FBI. And we've got the stories that submit the proof. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.